Okay, we're going to review, just go over very briefly, and then we're going to go through quickly, we're going to go review the basic, broad basics of Hilchos, of Kriya, of tearing, and remind us what the principles are, and then we can go through piece by piece. And you're going to see, by the way, these are very modern issues. They did not have rich crackers boxes back even in time of Shulchan Aruch, and many of these things they didn't have even in Moshe Feinstein's time. So he addresses things, but a couple of the things, well, all these are Moshe had. Well, yeah,
that's true.
But you'll understand that the halacha will give principles, and their principles have to be applied, and I'm just going to show you that there's room for debate on all areas, and I want you to understand all of the sides of this, and then we'll tell you the best way in order to open things in a permissible way. Now, okay, so let's just go over the sources very briefly. One, we know that one of the malachos is Hakorea Almanas, the last one in number one. Hakorea Almanas Litfor State Firos. Tying in order to sew. Okay, so that means that the tearing in order to sew. I'm ahead of myself. Tearing in order to sew, that the tearing would have to be a productive tearing. Destructive tearing is not a d'oraisa, it's only usher. Midir Rabbanan, just tearing something because you feel like tearing it because you know you don't really, you're just nervous and you just, you know, oh, I'm sorry, you're giving nasty breath. Okay, just tearing something just like that, that's usher, that's forbidden, you're not allowed to do that on a Shabbos, but you didn't violate a d'oraisa. But if I tore something with the intent of it being productive, let's say, you know, I wanted to make myself a mask so that I could go to the Lions game, for example, like that would be productive tearing. Okay. Somebody's going to listen to this in 20 years and say, go to the what? Okay. Because they're so good in 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So skip to number three. The Rambam says, Hakorea kidei litfor shtei tfiros, one who tears sufficient to tie two stitches, chayav. Aval korea lahafsida, but if you tear in order to destroy, patur, you are exempt mipnei shehu mekalkel, because you are mekalkel, you are destroying. Okay, and remember we learned about if you tear kriya in anger, that would also be a constructive tearing. And also we learned Yud Aleph, the second half of Yud Aleph, the chen ha-mefarek niyoros duvukin, o-oros duvukin, if you would tear apart niyoros duvukin, the papers that are stuck together, o-oros duvukin, or oros are skins or hides that are together, v'lonit kavin mekalkel bilvad, and you don't intend necessarily to destroy, Areza toladat korea v'chaya. So if you'll see here, you'll say, well, I'm not tearing. See this rich thing? It's just glued, right? The box is glued shut. I'm not tearing anything. No. Tearing means separating two things that were attached together, whether it's a natural attachment or it's been glued together. It's been attached. That's considered tearing, and that would be chaya if it was a productive tearing. As we'll soon see in the boxes, it could very well be a productive tearing. Okay, next page, page two, please. We're just going to go through this very quickly. Okay, number five, the halachas of the Mishnah Berurah. Ein shovrin hacheres, ein korin haniyar. You can't destroy pottery and you can't tear paper. Mishnehu kimitakein kli. Because you are, it's like you are fixing something. I didn't bring it with me, but the example that he gave two examples. One example is toilet paper. Okay, that toilet paper, we'll see especially, well, we don't have it here, but we'll see later on. Toilet paper especially is a problem because it's measured. And in addition, when you tear the toilet paper in its current form, in its untorn form, is much less usable than toilet paper in its torn form. Can we all agree on that? Right. So therefore that would be a problem. The other example the Mishnah Berurah gives is look down in the Mishnah Berurah. Here we are. Fifth line in the Mishnah Berurah. Velikroa igeret hamechutam. See where I am, the fifth line in the Mishnah Berurah, to tear a letter that is sealed, a sealed letter. So you're making an envelope. Even if you're careful not to tear on the letters, you're only going to tear the paper around it. You're not allowed to open an envelope on Shabbos. So it's unclear what the reason is. There's two possible reasons. A, you're creating an envelope. The envelope was sealed, and you're making something that now is going to be used to hold the letter. But even more than that, is that productive tearing or destructive tearing?
Destructive.
Because you're going to read what's inside. The envelope after it's torn is largely useless. It becomes garbage. It's useful when it's sealed.
So why in the world, why would the Mishnah Berurah say it's prohibited?
I'm a little puzzled.
I believe personally that, you know, have you ever been in an office, where, I don't know what they do in your office, where they used to have inter-office mail?
Yeah.
So what were those inter-office envelopes like?
They have a string.
Right. Yeah, they have a string, and you seal it, right? You string it, right? You personally don't seal it. And they had, like, you know,
a whole bunch of
lines on it, and right? Mm-hmm. So you got it, and then you would go give it to the next person. I'm not personally convinced. I mean, when you received an envelope, our envelopes are disposable envelopes. But when you got an envelope, right, you would open it. It would be glued shut. You would open it. And then what would you do with it?
Read.
You send it to the next guy. So at least that's my impression, because envelopes were not cheap. And would you throw away a very good envelope? So I get the sense that in that case that there was an issue of you're creating an envelope that was not usable before Shabbos. So he says, these really are not issues for us necessarily. Okay.
I think it would be more destructive, because you probably won't be able to do anything about the news you receive after Shabbos, whether it's bad news or when you're on Shabbos.
What if it's good news, then it would make your whole Shabbos. What if you got into college? What if you got the thick envelope instead of the thin one?
What if in a modern age, what if a girl goes to a seminary?
Yeah, that's true. Now, it raises a whole other issue of can you open the mail at all? Didn't we talk about that last year?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Okay. So you can go back to the website and download it very slowly, not on Shabbos, and listen to this year then. Okay. But what about opening packages? Because everybody knows from your mother that you're allowed to open packages on Shabbos, right?
No.
No.
No?
No.
Nobody's parents open stuff on Shabbos?
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah, but you have the words.
No.
Nobody's parents open stuff on Shabbos? Food. Only for food?
Yeah.
What? No, your mom never opened stuff on Shabbos? Okay, my mom did. I mean, you know, and you can. So, newsflash, a person can open certain types of packages on Shabbos.
What are the certain kinds?
Well, we're going to find out. How do I know? There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah number 6. Shover Adam es hachavis lechol heimena grogros. How do they have? They had barrels. That's how you would store things. So let's say you ran out of dates on Shabbos, and you wanted more dates. So the Mishnah says, you only have a big barrel of dates. I want to eat dates. The Mishnah says you're allowed to break the barrel in order to get to the dates on Shabbos. Ubilvad, on the condition, shelo yiskaven la'asos kli. That you don't have the intention of creating a kli, of creating a new vessel with the breaking of it open. So George is saying, hey Rabbi, that's nice, you don't make a kli, but what about Korea? We learned about productive tearing. Aren't you tearing in this case in order to do productive things? Says Rashi, Shover Adam Chabis Malaya Grogros, full of Grogros, Besakin Obisai, with a knife or a what?
He's translating for me.
A knife or a shayaf or a blade, thank you. Le'achom Minena Grogros, to eat these dates. De'ein b'mekalkiel shum iser b'shabes. So the Rambam explains what Rashi means is the rabbi did not prohibit destructive activity in order to fulfill a Shabbos need on Shabbos. In order to open up a package that's necessary. The rabbi did not prohibit that. And it isn't just food. In this case, the example was food, but those are not things the rabbis did not prohibit. So we know there's an issue of Korea of tearing, but we also know that certain times Korea is permitted. So the question we're going to have to come to is when is it permitted and when is it not permitted? Now we get to the practicum. So if you'll turn to page 3. Okay? And this is all just a review, but it was 2 weeks ago, and it's good to do this. And, you know, when I prepare this, you have to read it a number of times because it has to sink in. Tearing food for Shabbos needs. Although tearing paper or plastic, even in a destructive manner, is rabbinically prohibited, doing so for the purpose of retrieving food or physical needs contained within. See that, Larry? Food or physical needs. A lot of different things that you might need, okay? Is waived if one forgot to do so before Shabbos. Chazal, the sages, waived the rabbinic ordinance in these cases. Accordingly, one may tear apart food packaging, wrapping around bandages, napkins, medicines, clothing, or even toys, provided that no letters or designs will be torn. So, for example, you gave your son, your grandson, your nephew, your niece, your aunt, a game of Othello on Erev Shabbos, Friday, because that's when you opened the presents, because the whole family was together. Then they realized, let's go play Othello, and every good game comes with a saran wrap, a little plastic around it. Are you allowed to open the saran wrap in order to play the game on Shabbos? And the answer is, as we'll see, clearly yes.
What about the pieces inside if they're connected?
Ah, okay. What do you think?
I don't know.
Julie?
No.
Why? Makibipata. We're going to see. So let's see in a second what the factors are.
What was the question?
Meaning sometimes you get, well, not Othello, but sometimes you'll get a game like Battleship or something, right, where the ships come, they don't...
It's not a plastic.
Right, they're too cheap to actually pull apart the molds for you, right? So they give you the all the pieces on a mold, and you have to pull the pieces apart from the mold. So are you allowed to pull those pieces apart on Shabbos? So Julie says no, for a reason called makeh bepatish. Makeh bepatish means the final hammer blow. We'll see in exactly one second. Okay, it's important to remember that tearing open a package or container of food and the like is permitted only if the act is clearly destructive to the package or container. However, tearing that results with any kind of useful item or contrivance is considered constructive and is not permitted even for food purposes. This will often depend upon the type of packaging or container that is to be opened, as shall be explained. So you have to really, you cannot just say you can open things, and you can't just say you can't open things.
But they just said it was intent. If you don't intend to use it.
No. Sometimes, no matter what you intend to do, if you open the package in the normal way, it will be constructive, as I'll see.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You could intend from here to tomorrow, I don't want the package. But you're doing an action that's different than what your intention is. So even if you say, I don't want it, nonetheless, you're doing something that shows that you clearly do want it. Okay?
But a package that arrives on Shabbos, you can't open.
That's a different issue. That's a totally different issue. That's not even a package. We're talking about opening.
Out of here that arrives on Shabbos 2 years ago. That's a package you can't open.
Those are other issues. Aside from the issue of the box, of opening the box, another issue is, did it come from outside the Tchum Shabbos, which means the area of inhabitation, so anything outside the Tchum is muksa from before Shabbos.
Harry Potter's definitely beyond
me. The Tchum? Anyways, the other issue of can you read Harry Potter at all? Okay. We could debate book 6 after the class. Okay. Before discussing individual cases, it is essential to have a basic understanding of the various malachos and other halachic questions involved with opening packages, containers, and the like on Shabbos. It should be mentioned that many of the cases further below are dealt with in greater detail in the relevant malachos. One, korea. We learned about tearing. Korea is the tearing of almost any material, including cloth, plastic, paper, cardboard, aluminum foil, and the like. Opening packages made of these materials can therefore involve the malacha of korea. Page 4. For those people listening at home, I don't think I put this online because I really lifted it right out of Rabbi Ribia's book, so you're going to have to look it up in his book, and I didn't feel like putting it on the internet. Mechatech. Mechatech entails cutting or tearing an object and material to a measured size or shape. In some cases, tearing or opening certain packages or cartons along their perforated lines can involve mechatech. A classic example of these are paper towels. Right? If you tear even on the perforated line, you want it to be that size. And so it's very, very not easy. There's no real reason or way to tear paper towel on Shabbos.
That is constructive
perforated.
Tearing anyway.
That is constructive tearing anyway. So it's korea and bechatech, both of those things. Three, mochek, erasing. And this is the one that really doesn't appear in the older time poskim, but I believe is the most challenging aspect of opening a package on Shabbos. Because it's very easy to be cavalier about it. Erasing or obliterating a letter, symbol, or picture is mochek. Tearing letters or pictures and opening or wrapping or packaging can therefore involve this malasa. And this applies, especially in today's day and age, for almost every single package. And I want to really emphasize this point, because you shouldn't minimize it. Oops. You know, you have to do it in such a way where you know with certainty that you're not going to do it. because it could even be a malacha of removing a letter or tearing a letter, destroying a letter. And I think that sometimes, I tried, and what can you do? Mary?
I just want to review something I think you said. I want to make sure I understood it. You can use a scissor on Shabbos.
Yes.
And you can use, so for example...
Let's explain why again. Why? Do you remember?
Because you can control it better.
Well, why can't you use the scissors on Shabbos?
You're not using it for its regular purpose?
No, you are using it for its regular purpose.
I don't remember why. I want to make sure...
Anybody remember? No. Anybody remember? A scissors is what's called a kli shemalechto le'isser. We did some muksa. I don't know how much muksa we did last year. Did we do any muksa?
Not a lot.
Oh, we'll do more. Okay. It's called a kli shemalechto le'isser. Well, you know what you can do and what you get to. Okay. It's a kli, a utensil, a vessel, whose primary purpose is le'isser, for a prohibition. So kli shemalechto le'isser, what does muksa mean? Muksa means it's a set aside in your mind. When that something is muksa, it doesn't mean it's prohibited. Asr means prohibited. Muksa does not mean prohibited. This is a kli shemalachto le'isr. Well, maybe. It's not really a good example. Right, it's a kli miyuchad, because sometimes you could use it on Shabbos, okay? This is a kli shemalachto le'isr. Right? I'm holding up the recorder. Why? Because there's no useful Shabbos use for this. Its primary use is not anything I could do on Shabbos. So let's say that was a windy day, and I wanted to hold it down, use it to hold down my whatever. So the halacha says that a kli shemalachto le'isser is mutter, it can be moved or utilized, l'tzorech gufo or makomo, for itself or for its place. And if I need where the place where it's in. It's not totally muksa. Certain items, they'll tell me muksa, you can't move there, you can't touch them on Shabbos, you can't pick them up and handle them. Some items are only muktzah for certain uses. So, for example, a scissors is a kli shemalachto le'isser. You cannot pick up a scissors just for no reason. You can't just handle the scissors for no reason. But if you wanted to use it to open a package, that would be permitted.
I'm thinking, for example, like a shemo package, which has been all over, and you really have to be careful. You kind of have to cut it on the side.
Correct.
You know, writing, so you could use a pair of scissors to cut in between the lines where the words are.
It's counterintuitive, but not you could. Mm-hmm. I would argue in some cases you should. Because if you don't, you're going to tear the letters. You understand what I'm saying, Harriet?
Yeah, it's a little. Life is changing at home.
Yeah. Okay.
Scissors for cutting sprinklers.
Okay. And finally, bonev. The act of melacha bonev entails erecting or forming a structure of almost any kind. According to some poskim, a solid container has a halachic structure in the context of bonev. Opening surety sealed food containers, i.e. cans, bottles, boxes, can involve this malacha, because you're creating something. And now finally, makia bepatish. What is makia bepatish? Final hammer blow. Makia bepatish entails creating or completing any functional item, even if the item cannot be classified as a type of halakhic structure. For example, fashioning a hook out of a wire hanger or detaching a new book that had not been fully cut at the corners are examples of makia bepatish. Shinsh, opening a sealed sturdy container, effectively converts it into a functional vessel. This action can be considered an act of creation and completion, hence makia bepatish, and we'll soon see what cases. So, Julie, I would agree with you. In the case of our battleship pieces, it was poured. You have to think about it. How was it created? It was poured as a liquid into a mold. That mold, it was never detached. You never, ever had a battleship ship. All you had was a battleship blob of five ships attached. So detaching those pieces is, in a sense, creating them. So that would seem to me to be prohibited on Shabbos. So sometimes you can open the again, but you can't play it because you're stuck with it. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, so let's go into the specific examples. Skip to D. Wrappings. The halacha regarding tearing of wrappings on Shabbos depends on the type of wrapping, as will be explained below. Thin wrapping. I'm sorry, before we even get into this, you need to understand that in most of these cases, there are legitimate views on both sides. Really legitimate views on both sides. So even though I'm going to present to you the side leheter, the permissible aspect, without a doubt, there are very legitimate and serious poskim who feel that in most of these cases, opening these packages can be prohibited under one of these five reasons. So therefore, it's a really good idea to get into the habit of
opening before Shabbos.
Opening all these things before Shabbos. And I'll admit that I'm as guilty as the next guy about not really thinking about it, because once they, oh, it's mutter. Yes, certain rabbis would allow, do allow X, Y, or Z. But, you know, it depends how careful or meticulous or whatever you want to put it, you want to be. You know, there's going to be ways of opening most of these things. But at the same time, these aren't, certainly aren't the ideal. And the more meticulous that we want to be about Shabbos, the more we're going to be careful of saying, you know, how many bottles of soda do I think I'm going to use on Shabbos? So maybe I should open them before. And it doesn't kill the soda. You open it before and then you can use it within a, you know, a few days. It'll be fine. And to really make that part of your pre-Shabbos checklist, just like, you know, you cover over the light if you keep your light on Shabbos, and you put on the Shabbos cloth.
Yeah,
right, you turn on your kosher lamp. Right, I got addicted to that thing too. Yeah, all of these things. So it's worthwhile to realize that when something is permissible, that doesn't mean that it's a lechachila, and the more meticulous you are, the more you're going to try to avoid opening things on Shabbos. And I think that's something that all of us could stand to improve upon. Okay, wrappings. Halacha regarding wrappings depends on the type of wrapping. V1, thin wrappings. Paper or plastic wrappings around food or other items that are required for food or physical needs present minimal halachic problems with regard to tearing and opening them on Shabbos. The wrapping material is ordinarily thin and flimsy and summarily discarded after opening. They may therefore be ripped or opened provided that no letters or designs will be torn. It is permitted to tear candy wrappers, band-aid wrappers, plastic or paper seals around covers of jars or wine bottles, small packets of sugar. So here I have a thing of tea, right? And when I open this thing, I'm not making an envelope, you know what I'm saying? It might be an issue of creating, of pulling this off of there. I would probably be more careful not to tear the tea bag off of the thing, which I just did. I opened it cavalierly. But opening the thing, just opening the envelope, as soon as I'm done with it, I'm going to throw it away. I'm not creating, did I create anything by doing this? Anybody think I created something by opening it?
A book mat.
A book mat, sure. Okay.
But is there a problem because sometimes it's already perforated? Well, that's not a problem.
Here, you mean these things are perforated before?
No,
see, actually, in this case, you're actually even better off, because I'm not entirely convinced this was ever actually sealed.
Oh.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If you look at the paper, in this case,
it's
right.
The is perforated.
Right, so that you should probably be careful about. So let's say this Bigelow tea thing, okay, this paper wrapping. As soon as I open it, am I ever going to use it again?
No.
Right, so it's packets of salt or sugar, or in this case, a packet of coffee. So in this case, what's my biggest challenge again?
Word is the letter.
You know, it's, well, I guess they make it, wait, I got Bigelow here.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really, you know, not mess around with this. Yeah, right. Okay, did I make it? What?
We do it down the side.
Oh, you do it down the side? Yeah. And then you're good. You're right, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to throw this away. I'm never going to use it again. So that, he says, presents a little problem with regard to opening things on Shabbos. Again, provided you're not worried about the around the letters or the words. Let me also...
Easily, you can make sense with that, yeah?
That's a totally different sheer that we talked about a long time ago. Makes sense before Shabbos, right. Okay. One may also peel off the foil or plastic freshness seal from the opening of a jar of coffee, yogurt, butter, cottage cheese. Another example would be, you know, you open a ketchup. Right? This is nothing. Just unscrewing your cap is not a big deal. What about the thing on the inside of it?
They're all letters.
This one, no, it doesn't have. But again, the letter.
It's hard to get that off.
I just use a knife and go through it. Yeah. What? It doesn't really just lift off. These are annoying. Yeah, they're, you know, but again, so it's going to be discarded. It would be hard to argue that when you pull this off, when you rip it off, you're making a kli. How am I making a kli? Okay, let's.
Bottle.
Does the bottle exist beforehand?
Right, but the same thing.
Am I structurally changing the bottle?
No. Then why you can? When you have to punch a hole in the bottom so that.
Wait. One second. We'll talk about a can.
Okay.
A can. I think we could see as being fundamentally different. Let me ask you this question. Well, we'll get to the can in a second. A can is on the list. We'll get to a can. Okay. Heavy wrapping, even thick or valuable wrapping, may be torn because virtually nothing usable emerges from the torn wrapping. Okay, so all of these cases, I think last week I ripped off, 2 weeks ago I ripped off the wrapping on top of here, just the wrapping. And this package, again, you know, again, said this is very easy because there's no writing on it. So you're not going to, they're not really going to keep it. I mean, I guess in theory you could.
If you had crackers left over, you're
going to... If I had crackers left over, would I leave it in there?
You could.
Yeah. More likely than not, you put them in a plastic bag because that thing will rip immediately.
No, I disagree. I've done it before. Yeah. I've kept it.
Yeah.
So then what would you say you should do?
Make it so you couldn't use that again.
Right, right. So that would be a good idea. If it's ripping itself, is not a is not a problem. No, let's turn to this. Right, we're going to see bags in a second. Okay? Examples. One may tear open and give this decorative gift wrap around a box of candy, bottle of wine, or even a toy. Isn't that interesting? Somebody gives you a wrapped present. So assuming you're not ripping any pictures or words, you can open it and use it on Shabbos. You know, assuming that they gave it to you before, all that kind of stuff. Provided that no letters or diagrams are torn and that the tearing is destructive to the wrapping. One may peel or tear off paper stickers pasted on top of a new spice container and the like, provided that care is taken not to open letters. So again, this Pringles thing, right, the little Pringles container, the single serve, so the letters are really the hardest part because you're not creating really anything. And as soon as you're done with this is a single serve item, nobody really stores the Pringles in these things. You know, you're going to take it, it's disposable. Plus, not only that, when you open it, you're not making anything that didn't exist before. It's really, the container existed before, and the foil was glued on top of it, so it's tearing, but in a destructive way.
So if you had a large Pringles container that wasn't single-serving, you should be able to use it because it's a container.
Correct. The container existed before. Your act is not a Makim B'Patish act of opening the container, of creating a container that didn't exist before.
Could you use it for storage afterwards?
You could have used it before.
It comes with a plastic cap that you put on.
Correct, but now again, it comes with a plastic, that's all correct. It comes with a plastic, but in this case also, this came with a plastic cap too. This is the same thing as the Pringles, right?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So the plastic cap you didn't make, imagine the Pringles back, right? You just put it on and off. All you had was a piece of paper that you were tearing off. And you're allowed to tear in order to reach the Pringles or the ketchup or what have you. You're not making the bottle or whatever in any real way. Okay? Everyone agree? Fine. Next.
Until we get to the can, I can tell what the difference between a can and one.
Okay. Opening a mailed envelope. The postium states that one is not permitted to tear open an envelope on Shabbos because it involves the malacha of Korea. This applies to air letters and envelopes. Well, first of all, air letters, we can all understand, because especially if you've ever gotten one of those, you know, FedEx things, the way you seal it is not the way you open it. It has one of those, right, that you tear off, and you're really creating a new package. So that we can all understand. But regular letters, in both cases, Korea is transgressed when opening letters. In case of air letters, the tearing effectively produces a readable letter. In the case of the common...
You're talking about aerograms.
Yeah, I saw that.
When I went to Israel, my mother bought me a bunch of those and says, write something.
Those are airways.
Nowadays, those kids will write a letter. They say, write a letter, I'll email you. I'll just message you or something. Right. I went to Israel still back when it was $1.50 a minute, okay? So don't worry.
She's
self-addressed. She's self-addressed? My mom didn't self-address anything, you know? Okay.
They give me postcards.
I'm self-addressed to many.
I'm only going to put a stamp out of this.
That's
right. Okay. In the case of the common envelope, tearing or cutting the envelope along the top could be equivalent to creating a protective container, i.e. the envelope which is not suitable for storing the letter after reading. While it is true that some people will replace a letter into its envelope, it seems doubtful that in today's society, in which most people summarily discard the envelope, this factor alone could determine that opening the letter is a malacha of Korea Midoraisa. It would seem reasonable to compare an envelope to any flimsy throwaway bag or wrapper. This is certainly true when the envelope is destroyed while opening. However, notwithstanding these considerations, one may not open any letter on Shabbos, whether by tearing, cutting, melting the glued flaps and steam, because tearing wrappers or packages is never permitted for other than food or bodily needs. I think also, the Mishabura said it was usher. You know, we saw it explicitly in the Mishabura, so no one was going to come along later and say, well, that was for then, this is for now. It's also, I think, another factor was, like Aviva mentioned, what could it be? You know what I'm saying? If, God forbid, your lab sent you a note, you know, and you were waiting for, you know, the results, and they weren't going to call you, and it was only going to come in the mail, then it would be a life or death matter, then we could talk about it. But what's going to be the letter that you need to open right now? You know, I need some.
They'll call.
You can't answer.
You can listen to the message.
Okay. In pressing circumstances, a non-Jew is permitted to open the letter on one's behalf. We saw that also. Okay. Bags. It must be emphasized that as a general rule, all containers such as bags, cartons, and cans should be opened before Shabbos so as to avoid any halachic compromises. However, in the event that this is not done, one may rely upon the lenient halachic rulings and open these containers when necessary. In such situations, one may be required to adhere to certain conditions as shall be described in the ensuing paragraph. So we see already, it's permitted. It's not a good habit to get into. It's a very good habit to try to avoid opening. You know, you say, well, why should I avoid it if it's mutter? Because there's an element of also trying to do more than just the letter of the law when it comes to Shabbos. And, you know, even though we're going to see that there's a permissible way to open the bag, nonetheless, it's better not to tear things on Shabbos and not to open them, even if it would be permitted. C1, bags of thin, flimsy material. Bags of food that are made of thin or flimsy disposable material may be opened in any manner, even non-destructive. So here, this bag, would you agree that's flimsy material? Okay. Bags and containers such as these are not subject to korea makabepakis when torn or opened, because they are nothing more than protective coverings, similar to the shell of a peanut or the peel of a fruit. Since the bags are not true vessels, any mere tearing or opening them is considered destructive. So to open this thing, so obviously the posting felt that this is not really a vessel. And I think that we could all agree that there's a big difference between this and this. You know, a jar, which is a vessel, and a bag, which is meant to protect, but you wouldn't call this a kli, necessarily, a vessel. Would you? Miriam?
I have a question about the cold cups that come, I think they're especially from Empire.
Yeah.
There's a strip on them that mm-hmm. you open up, and then you have to open up a thinner... Zipper. Literally pull it apart so you can open up the bag and then it becomes resealable.
Comes in here.
There's no writing on it.
I know what you're talking, like the carrot bags. So open up the strip.
This bag, the top part has nothing on it, no print. It just says, you know, tear here, and it opens up.
Is it perforated, first of all?
Yes.
It's another problem.
Right.
Okay.
Then there's another bag on the inside, closer to where the actual...
With a Ziploc-y thing?
Yes. And you have to pull it apart.
Right.
I didn't realize this.
I personally, I'm not comfortable with those things.
Because that's making, isn't that making?
Yeah, also, you're not, this is not, you know, this is not,
yeah,
you're going to have gradations of plastic. You know what I'm saying? So,
in other words, it's meant to
This is a thin, flimsy bag, but when you get into those, it's interesting because you ever open the pizza, the J2 pizza boxes? So they have the same thing, but they have really cheap plastic. Right. Those are really cheap.
This would actually be making a container.
I think it's safe to say that if you don't feel comfortable doing it, which I wouldn't feel comfortable telling you to do that, because in that case, it's clearly meant to be opened and resealed. Plus, another important factor, when it's closed, when it's in the factory, somebody answered this question, maybe Jeff Schreiber probably could, he's not here, he's in Israel. When it's made in the factory, where is it sealed from? How is it sealed? Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, it was never that part of it was ever open and then they closed it.
Correct.
But my guess is that it was open at the top and they hermetically seal it, glue it shut, intended you to create a new opening.
My guess is that's just at the bottom.
Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes, is that the top part.
You understand what I'm saying? At the bottom, right.
And that they zip it, that they insert it in the
And then they zip it, right, turn it upside down. And in that case, you are really, when you're opening it,
you're making
a new opening. You're really making a clean in that case. Everybody understand what we're talking about?
What if you throw it away?
That's true. Well, nobody answered that. So then, okay, let's go on. Let's go in order.
That's not pre-existing. At one stop at the deli, he uses different bags on Thursday and Friday. Because, you know, normally he uses that thin cellophane and he slaps the label on that seals it.
Yeah.
For Thursday and Friday,
he uses Ziploc.
For Shabbos, he uses Ziploc.
I can't open the cellophane.
He uses Ziploc.
So why can't you open the other one on before? So now, based on what we learned, why can't you open the first can?
He says that's what the God makes him do. He has to do it that way, and that's one of those zip things that you pull apart.
That's
No. When they do it, that's just a regular Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
You didn't create a cleat. We're talking about... I have
the message. Like the craisins come in that. But
correct.
The thing is closed. That part is sealed before I ever cut through the top.
Yeah, but he sealed it for you.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but same thing with the craisins.
Again, maybe bring in what you mean next week. Bring in two types of bags.
Why is this thing? I know what Miriam's saying. What she's talking about is herons.
Right. Yeah.
And why is that different than, it's a little more complicated. Why is it different than a potato chip bag? If you're not going to keep it, it's not a...
No, this is made to be kept.
It's made to be kept in the same sense that a bag of potato chips is made
to
be kept. As long as the food lasts, and the moment it's done, out it goes. As opposed to the baby food jar, which at least some people, not very many people, but some people... save jars.
These are real, first of all, I'm saying jars.
Do you remember
last 2 weeks ago I brought in the, not the craisin one, it was the dried fruit that you get at Costco.
Yeah.
That's not a thin bag. That's not very thick. That's a much thicker bag.
So you,
everybody will?
You will.
But the fact that we throw things away, it means nothing, because we are rich and spoiled.
Greasy inside. Nobody makes sense.
We are spoiled.
I do a lot of recycling. I wouldn't have another use for it.
It isn't really cleanable. I mean, it isn't meant to be.
All right. Okay. Want me to open a bag of potato chips? Candy. Let me also tear up in a sealed plastic bag containing new stockings, plastic cutlery, paper cups, bowls, because these types of bags are too flimsy to be reusable and are summarily discarded after use. One may also open a flimsy straw bag containing food. However, a firm, solidly constructed bag, straw basket, is considered a vessel and may not be torn open. It should be noted that even though there's firm halachic basis for permitting thin, flimsy bags to be ordered on Shabbos in an ordinary manner, they... nevertheless, to be torn and destroyed in the process of opening them. Why? Because obviously there are some poskim that felt that there was a clue that when you open this special bag, which I'm not going to do because I'm going to eat them, when you'd open this bag, you could see somebody saying, no, that is a clue. You are going to use it. What are you talking about?
Fold it over.
You fold it over and hold on to it. So even though some say, I'm trying to show you both sides. So there are those who are makil, who are lenient and say that you're permitted to open because this is not a plea, because it's only temporary. You could see why somebody would say not to. So I would recommend, and I think that's a very good way of going. So one of the ways of making it permissible is to open it in such a way where it's not usable anymore.
This is a pre-existing bag.
This was a pre-existing bag, correct, in the top, and then it was sealed, correct. So in this case, I would agree with you that it was pre-existing. But again, one could suggest, I mean, there are postings that took a very strict view. You know, so to rip it open, I would suggest, if you want to show you how to do it, I mean, does anybody not have any idea what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Anybody want pretzels? Okay. Bags made of firm material. Opening boxes, thick plastic bags. What's this? Can I fit? 1 second. I don't have anything really thin.
You'll find something there.
This is a big thin.
This is thin. Oh, I'm not going to open it yet because I'm going to use it. Paper cups. That's very thin plastic. It's already...
a little thicker.
Yeah, a little thicker. You know what I'm saying? How do you figure out what's thin, what's thick, you know? It's very hard. And heavy plastic or plastic wrappings that are reusable in the ordinary manner is questionable because these bags are technically reusable and could be classified as vessels. Everybody understands. Opening the bag in an ordinary, non-destructive manner could be considered an act of fashioning a vessel and involve bone or makib patish. Bags of this type may be opened only by tearing apart the bag in the process. So again, I would say, if you have a doubt, if you're not sure, so you want to open it, so when you open it, you can open it all the way. Just, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the act of tearing, remember, wasn't destructive tearing, but make sure that it's destructive tearing by opening it all the way, then it would be permissible on Shabbos. So you just open the bag, and you continue opening it all the way down along the seam, and then you're good to go. Okay? Matcha boxes, tissue dispensers. So this one gets a lot more complicated. Because this, until they glued it, was not a box. But when they glued it, now it is a box. You understand what I'm saying? meaning when it was in the factory, it was just a piece of cardboard. Then they glued it together, and it was not sealed. And now they want you to now open it for the very first time. It was never a box until now. It could never be used to hold anything until now. So it makes it much, much more complicated to open it. Because as soon as you do what they want you to do, they're designing it in such a way that you are now, you just created a vessel for the first time. Because it wasn't this beforehand. Until you closed it. Plus, if you see the way they did it, they do it in such a way where it's designed to be a handy-dandy storage item.
It's a formed box before they put the crackers in there.
Formed box.
Even, yeah, without the...
No, they also have the crackers in.
You can't put the crackers in until it's rolled up.
They can't put the cracker, and then they put the crackers in. And then they seal it. Right. So it's
so
a box.
It's a box before the crackers go in.
Before the crackers go in.
I think the postman felt that by doing this, you are finishing it off, because beforehand you couldn't store anything in it when it was sealed. And by opening it up, now you're creating an item that you can now use and reuse.
Across the side where...
You couldn't store anything. It wasn't useful to you.
But the ketchup bottle couldn't be used until you opened the seal either.
Nothing could be used to
you. Right. It's glued on. Glue on. Just
it's not true of anything. None of them could be.
It's a good question. It's a good question. But especially if you ever see you also have to look at it, meaning the moment that before it was sealed, before it was closed, then it was a box, and now you're not creating a new box. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, it was probably flat. They folded it into a box.
Right. They glued
the bottom and the side or whatever, stuck the crackers in and glued the top.
So saying the moment before...
Sesame Street knows that.
Who's about, okay. The Balakha Machatech is probably involved here because one is intentioned of a symmetrically shaped opening of a specific size. Similarly, a seal box of cookies, cereal, and matzah may not be opened by tearing or detaching along the gum lids at the top box top. No, again, another box. So this you probably agree with me. I think this is what he meant the first case. See, in this case, where there's a perforated line, okay, and it was glued in one way, and then it was meant to be opened in another way. Okay, so when you do that, then you're creating an opening that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
Okay, that you agree with me. That you can see?
Okay.
That you cannot do.
Cannot.
No. So he says, how do you do it? He tells you. Melting in time of need, one may open these packages by destroying the box and carton and removing the contents. Okay, so if you need to, put the after this today. So then you have to open both sides.
You can't open this box either, you said?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Unless you destroy it. When we open these packages by destroying the box or carton. Oh, you mean, so I think what he's talking about is, this would be a little tricky. But
up on the lock screen, instead of going by the glue, if you went right...
A knife across the bottom, right over there. Right, but you'd have to destroy it.
That's destroying it. Because
right through the side?
No.
Get the flap off.
You do it.
Like this?
No. Here. It's glued here. And you come across here. You can't reseal it. Because you're cutting it.
I think he means...
You're cutting this, so it's not there.
What he says is the box of cutting should be torn open at the top and the bottom. The matzah cereal, cook your tissues, and then be removed. Okay. Top and the bottom.
You can do it at the top and the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think it matters how you tear it, as long as you're destroying it in the process of tearing it. Again, it has to be destructive tearing. It doesn't have to be concurrent either. You could do one and then the other. As long as, again, you're doing it in such a way, whereas you're not going to be using the box again. You don't want to be making something, creating something that you're going to be resealing. Now, this is also very, very notable, mostly in tissue boxes. So this kind of tissue box, could you open? This one you for sure could. Remember, it's a flimsy piece of this one. I'm holding it. There's no. I'm not tearing anything. This one. No, it's not. Two of them are open and two of them are perforated.
What do you do?
Probably what I would do in that case. Probably what I do is go like is do this. Yeah, sure. That's destructive, right? So I'm trying to avoid the machate. No, the vessel was there before. Okay? So this one, but the most tissue boxes that you get have a paper on it.
Right.
In that case, it was very problematic to open in that way. The only way to do it would be to open the sides again, throw away the box, and keep the tissues on top.
Contrast this box with the waste.
With this one.
with the way Steve suggested we open one of these boxes.
Yeah.
You're saying that creating it in a way that it's resealable, you're creating something, especially with this one, you're creating
yes.
something. Even with that one, you're maybe creating something because you're resealing it in a different way than it was previously sealed.
Okay.
But if you do it like Steve suggested, just along here,
mm-hmm.
and then you're really not doing anything different than that. I mean, you're kind of destroying the top. And
well, this box is already open, really. I didn't do anything. It was an open box with a plastic cup.
Yeah, but then you had to cut away that plastic.
The only reason I cut away the plastic was so that I didn't use the perforations that they had already established.
Well, that's why he's cutting this around the edge so he doesn't use the perforations.
Again, right, but you wouldn't be able to, meaning if he could cut it around the edge here, I would still have a box with that opens and closes. It might not fold, fold under the designed way, but I would still have a usable box.
So
I keep it on the other side.
Well, here's the usable box.
But I had one before I started.
The way that the contents are packaged in tubes or even
okay, I wanna,
bags, the box is no longer the main.
Yeah, we got to get moving. Skip, you can read the rest because we're really running out of time. F, metal cans. It is not, this is my surprise, it is not Korea to open metal cans, whether they are soda cans designed with tear-off tabs or tuna fish cans that are cut with a can opener. Why? Metal is not subject to Korea. Korea is only things that are like cloth. Remember that it was only Korea Amanas leaked for. You can't cut metal, tear metal in that way. You can cut it, but you can't tear it. However, there's always the however. Opening these cans does present other serious shilas, particularly the malachas of bone and make de kapatish, because the cans being made of firm material are technically reusable. Some posts can forbid opening cans for these reasons. Again, some posts can say you can't. Even so, there is some halachic basis for forbidding opening these cans. One reason, the containers are designed to be disposable and are in fact usually discarded immediately after using. Indeed, some posts can have issued a lenient ruling on this basis. Pulling open the tabs of soda and soda cans is also permitted according to this view. However, since was mentioned earlier, many posting rule that is forbidden to open cans on Shabbos, one should comply with stringent ruling and open all cans before Shabbos. But this was not done, there are permissible methods of opening them. These are the other cans are in Maki de Patish. So one way of doing it is to puncture the can. I don't know if you really want to, meaning I try to, personally, I'll tell you personally, I try to avoid cans on Shabbos. Mostly because when a can is sealed, does anybody know where it's sealed in the factory? What? No, it's already made as a can. It's sealed around here, around the top, right, around the lip. So it's sealed, and so when you're doing this, you're opening, you're creating a new opening. And I personally am not comfortable. I mean, he's specifically like, there are post-skim that allow it. But I would recommend, even if you're going to rely on those post-skim, you should empty out the can immediately and destroy it. Smash it to make it not usable. Again, so you want to show that you're not doing something destructive, you're doing something destructive. This is an interesting situation, especially in Michigan, where we save all our cans. Why do we
recycle? We recycle.
Right.
Or by the tuna can you would recycle.
So I don't think it's worth the 10 cents. I would crush it. If you really need what's inside the soda can.
Why can't you recycle it?
Can you recycle the crash? It won't read the good barcode, I guess.
It
won't take it back from you. Yeah, but
can you start by puncturing the holes in?
Ah, so one other way to do it, yes. One that I didn't tell you would be to puncture it and make it unusable, and then you could open it and empty out the contents. Although I'm not keen about playing with knives in that way on Shabbos in general.
Well, like when we have to open the gefilte fish cans.
Yeah. Chuck makes you do it on both sides.
We put a hole on the bottom first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we turn around and open the top so that once everything's out, it can't be reused as
correct.
A can.
So again, that is exactly that point. If you're going to rely on the sock that allows you to open cans, which, because they're really, we don't use them anymore. We don't really, I don't know anybody
that
really reuses cans in that kind of way to hold things.
Well,
you certainly could puncture it on the bottom and then open it
yeah.
if you really wanted to.
You've got to puncture it on the bottom first and then
right.
open it.
What's that? You don't have to. You could. That's one way. What? It's a mess. Opening and then puncture it won't help you.
Taking the entire tap of the tuna can out ruins the tuna can. It's useless for anything.
That's totally not true. It's very useful. It's a beautiful little can. I can plant plants in it. I can do whatever I want.
You can say that about anything.
That's exactly the point. And don't get me wrong, but if we weren't so wealthy, we would. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, thank God we live in, I mean, we live in a society where we don't think about, you know, who in their right mind 100 years ago would throw this away? You know, we had guests over.
We had a fortune.
We had my sister over for Shabbos, and she asked, can I have a number of kids? So I said, you know, Rena, we're using paper. She said, great. She was very happy to use paper. She had been in Costco, and they have these special extra fancy schmancy plates, you know, that, I don't know what they cost or how much they cost. They're close to the real, to plastic, you know. So we throw things away that people would use for years. We just do. So the fact that we don't use the can doesn't make it unusable.
Cans have been meant since they were invented for immediate disposal. You're right in general. I'm not disagreeing with you in general. I can tell you, knowing some useless trivia about the history of cans, they have been intended for disposal.
Okay, what about this?
You could use that.
Can and do. All the time. I'm holding up a water bottle for those of you listening. They can and do. So now we come to the classic conundrum of twist cats. Okay? So at first, I'll just give you a little bit of history. Let's go F1, opening twist off bottle caps. As with metal cans, as discussed above, the question of opening bottle caps is unrelated to Korea because it's hard plastic. However, there are serious halachic shilas with regard to opening these caps on Shabbos. According to many poskim, it is forbidden to open a metal twist-off cap on Shabbos because its action effectively creates a functional vessel, i.e. the cap becomes functional. As explained, creating and completing a functional item is bone or make bepatish. This cap, the way it was explained to me was, these metal caps, the way they're put on, it's really a piece of flat metal before, and the machine comes